Inconceivable, a game of nerdery and nonsense, trivia and tribulations, Dan and danceability. Now let's join our panelists and your host, Dan Morin.
Hello and welcome to Inconceivable, a game that tests two teams' knowledge of the nerdy, useless, and obscure. To my right is Team One. She has appeared 11 times on this show, which is also coincidentally the number of tasks she can crush simultaneously. Kathy Campbell.
Oh, hey, that's me.
He has also appeared 11 times on the show, which is coincidentally the number of D&D campaigns he's running at any given moment. Tony Sindelar.
Hello, nerds.
And she's appeared 14 times on the show, which I think means she's David Tennant again. It's Erica Ensign.
I will take that happily.
Who is captaining Team One on this occasion?
Everybody else stepped back, so I guess that means it's me.
Classic. All right, Erica will be captaining Team One. To my left is Team Two. He's appeared 9 times on the show, which is also, I believe, the number of the next Dog Sitter detective book. It's Anthony Johnston.
Don't age me before my time.
She's appeared 12 times on the show, which is 6 times as many minutes as she needs to figure out any answer. Liz Miles.
Hello.
And he's appeared 14 times on the show, which is coincidentally the number of times he's said, "You fake off." Steve Lutz.
Oh, spoilers, Dan. Spoilers. Well, you can, 10 years, I didn't think you'd figured out that I say that every time yet.
You can ratchet it up. There, I may have miscounted. Someone's going to come back and be like, "Oh, on this show, he said it twice." And I'm going to be like,
"Supercut."
Oh, man. All right. Who is captaining Team 2?
Not it.
Dan, look at me. Look at me. I'm the captain now.
Anthony is the captain now.
Wow. The sexual tension in here, I could cut it with a knife.
Yeah, everybody else can leave. It's fine. As a reminder, correct answers are worth 10 points with partial credit decided by me and our scorekeeper, Lex. There are no fractional points.
Noted.
Boo. Hooray.
And as a special note, before we kick things off, this is our 10th anniversary show. We've been doing this for 10 years. I saw somebody pointed out that in the first episode I posted, in the copy I wrote, it says I would do this every month. Good one, past Dan.
Almost yearly.
It's also episode 250 of the Game Show podcast.
That's pretty exciting, too.
250
episodes? That's too many. Anyway, thank you everybody out there for listening. Goodbye. Let's start the game.
Round
one.
See you next time.
Round one is a game we are calling Working Titles. Not every.
Why are we calling it that, Dan?
Well, I'll tell you in a moment. Not every famous novel ended up using the title the author first came up with, usually for good reason. I'm going to ask you to identify the following well-known novels from their original titles. 10 points on the blind if you can get it from that title alone. I'll give you a maximum of 7 points if you would like the year, and I will give you a maximum of 4 points if you would like the author in addition to that. So, for example, if I gave you the working title, Trimalchio in West Egg.
Gesundheit.
Do a runaway screen.
And I added the year was 1925, and the author was F. Scott Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah.
That would be The Great Gatsby.
Okay.
The Great Gatsby.
Trimalchio?
Trimalchio. I think he had some weird thing for Italian opera or something. I don't know. F. Scott Fitzgerald. What a wacky
like
guy.
And his editor was like, "This sounds like a D&D module. Get back to work."
Oh, yeah. The Great Gatsby. No one ever played that module.
So these aren't all sci-fi and fantasy.
No, they're kind of all just over famous the place. Novels. These are famous
what?
Novels. I guarantee you will have heard of every single novel on this list.
But wow, that's a big guarantee.
Bold statement.
Okay.
I don't do
some
things.
Some of us are pretty ignorant.
I'm looking at the answers, and I haven't heard of one of them.
That's a lie.
No, it's 100% true.
Of any novels, so this is going to be...
Yeah.
We'll see.
We don't have to have read them, though.
A time-honored tradition is asking people in Inconceivable about books.
Yeah, why do you keep doing this?
And then being upset about it.
Let's not relitigate rivals.
All right.
Have you noticed, Dan, no one has ever once thanked you for that in the course of a decade?
strangely enough.
Take a hint.
And yet you keep all coming back. That's not on me. All right.
It is, you're right.
Team One.
Plus, if you took a hint, he'd sacrifice 3 points.
Kathy, what novel was originally titled First Impressions?
Oh, I mean, Team, we can have this conversation, but the correct answer is Pride and Prejudice.
See, there's so much whining, and then they just come right out of the gate with that. You didn't need 1813. Wow. You didn't need Jane Austen.
We can contain multitudes. We can be really complainy and smart.
This is my one correct answer.
Okay, start strong. Okay. Start strong. Yeah. All right, let's go to the other side. Anthony, what story was originally titled The Sea Cook, A Story for Boys?
Something tells me this is going to be an American novel, which I've never heard of, or at least I'm unfamiliar with. Steve, any ideas?
The only thing I can think of is possibly Treasure Island, because that was sort of a boy's adventure tale, and I don't know if there's a cook involved, but they are at sea.
They are at sea. Okay, as the Scot, I will say I'm pretty sure it's Treasure Island.
Oh, okay, all right. Well, I'll say that then, Treasure Island.
See, again, yeah. A book you've heard of.
I would never have got that by myself.
You didn't need 1883 or Robert Louis Stevenson.
This one went the other way, where the final title sounds like a D&D module.
Yeah. Liz, why did you know this answer? It's clearly labeled as a story for boys.
Mm. I don't know how to answer that in a way that isn't going to be very high-pitched and screamy. I'm just not in that place right now. Mm. They make you read Robert Louis Stevenson in Scotland, whether you are a girl or a boy, we do not divide. Also, they changed the name to Treasure Island.
Oh, right. Good point.
Yeah, because it's a much better name.
Yeah.
We all agree. All right. Tony.
Oh, no.
Dan, so far I've heard of both of these novels.
See? Told you so.
Good.
Tony.
I'll keep you apprised.
What D&D module was originally titled The Last...
Keep on the Borderlands.
The Last Man in Europe.
The Last Man in Europe. Oh. Ooh, that's a good title.
It is a good title.
I'm wondering what the title is that beats that title. The Last Man in Europe. Team, do we have any thoughts about who the last man in Europe is? It might be a metaphor, unless there's some book about just one guy left in all of Europe.
I mean, there could be like a plague novel somehow.
Mm. Or it could be something about just like, you know, class differences and there's only one dude who's left, who's fancy enough to deserve the term man.
Right.
But I don't know.
I have nothing.
Do we have a guess?
If you can guess,
and I'll give you, if you get it wrong, I'll give you the year, but you're going down to 7 points. So.
Right, of course.
Mm-hmm. Right.
We have a good guess for a classic novel set in Europe.
Dracula.
Perfect. Yes.
The Last Man in Carthex Abbey. I guess, you know what? We're submitting Dracula.
I love it. That would be a great title, but it is not correct. To The Last Man in Europe, it was published in 1949.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah,
that's a little newer than Dracula.
Yeah. Frankenstein.
Frankenstein, classically a little earlier.
49.
Yeah, clearly I'm not helpful.
No. I mean, you're very
I think
helpful,
it's just called
Erica.
The One Dude Fancy Enough.
I'm wondering if it's like an Ernest Hemingway book.
Oh, that would explain why it did not, like, none of those sprang to mind.
None of us. Yeah.
That's a good guess.
Let's go with one of those.
His book that's all about bullfighting.
I think it was called All About Bullfighting.
All About Bullfighting.
And then Darwin's Guide to Bullfighting.
This is a lot of Ernest Hemingway and Hollingway.
Can you do any better? And he was like,
a book for boys.
The Last Man in Europe. And they're like, come back in a little while. Do we have anything?
I could not name you a single Ernest Hemingway novel.
You can't name a single one? Can you think of one that might be about the sea? It's also about...
Yeah, Treasure Island.
Okay.
The Sun Also Rises. Go with that.
The Sun Also Rises.
Sun does also rise.
But your score sure doesn't.
Good news. You don't need to know any books by Ernest Hemingway for this question, because The Last Man in Europe, published in 1949, I will tell you it is by George Orwell.
Oh. Is it
1984?
Is it 1984?
Is it somehow weirdly Animal Farm?
Okay, real stupid question. Nobody else listened to this other than my team, okay? Mm-hmm.
Yep, just, guys, cone of silence.
That works great for podcasts, yep.
Who wrote War of the Worlds?
H.G. Wells.
Okay, thank you. I knew that
different,
one. Yeah, okay.
Different, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. Authors are hard.
Yeah. Deep Space Collision. Yep. Captain, should we say 1984, or will that be embarrassing?
It works
for me.
We have taken too long. 1984 is our answer.
1984 is correct. So that's 4 points.
Marginal points.
The hit there is he wrote it in 1948 because he very cleverly switched the two numbers at the end.
Right. What a visionary.
George
Orwell.
I did a
podcast
so
on that last week. Why was that ours?
I mean, it could have been any one of those other 800 or so Orwell books that everybody knows very well that might make for a good
trivia. I saw when I looked it up that it was his eighth novel, and I was like, what? You wrote seven novels before that?
Wasn't 1948 the original working title for
Look,
it as well?
Anthony, you can run your own quiz show, is all I'm saying.
I do, sometimes.
Yeah. It's also monthly.
All right, Liz, we're going to your side for, I think, perhaps one of my two favorites in this round.
Oh, no.
A book titled Something That Happened.
Oh, come on.
Oh, I think M. Night Shyamalan.
Well,
later
it's not a literary novel, then we know that.
Yeah, that does not sound like my area at all. It doesn't ping anything I know.
You're only into books where nothing happens.
I knew Last Man in Europe, okay? They took forever for something. That should be my question.
Let's list out all the books you know in which something happens.
I don't know. It's not. I can tell it's not in my area of reading. It's not The Lighthouse, I'm pretty sure. I've read The Lighthouse. I hated it. I read up everything about it to try and justify my hate. It's not The Lighthouse. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's all I got.
Your guess is not The Lighthouse?
Okay, I would guess.
Technically correct.
I'm guessing not The Lighthouse, and I don't believe, because I actually read the genres, science fiction or fantasy, I think it is something annoying that I've not read.
Yeah, that was the next title. Something annoying that I've not read. You want to throw a book out there just for a shot in the dark?
What else did Hemingway? The Old Man in the Sea.
No, it's not going to be another Hemingway.
There wasn't even a Hemingway before.
Oh no, it wasn't.
How about like The Sound of the Fury?
Yes, we're in their heads.
Fine. Which is that Hemingway? I hate Hemingway.
That's Faulkner, isn't it?
Technically, Dracula still on the board.
These all sound like terrible books by terrible people.
God, imagine if Dracula's working title was Something That Happened.
Okay. Well, okay.
Anthony, the key is to get something down so it's not a blank page.
The Sound and the Fury is what I am saying here.
Or maybe it's A Farewell to Arms and the thing that happened is somebody lost their arm.
Okay, I'm going for A Farewell to Arms.
Okay. All right. We're guessing Hemingway again. No, it is not A Farewell to Arms. I will add, it is published in 1937.
Okay, this is not something. This is definitely something I have no clue about. There's no science fiction book in 1937 that had a working title of Something Happened. No. Just purely on culture of what books were called then.
And is that too late to be Virginia Woolf?
Okay. Mm.
Oh, God, what if it is To the Lighthouse?
Well, yeah, that's...
I'm happy to say To the Lighthouse.
I can't remember when that was published now. I'm trying to
37. Oh, God.
It's just before the outbreak of war. It's not Orwell.
Orwell wrote his remembered stuff after the war.
Yeah, and it's not Buchan, because that's too late for that. Go on, Steve. What were you going to say?
When was Winnie the Pooh written?
That would be good.
Does Winnie the Pooh have spaceships in it? Because, you know, that would...
God, don't
I think it's in the subtext.
Look,
Eeyore is from another planet.
Ships of the imagination.
I am going to say... Okay.
Okay. I was just going to say...
Oh, go with it, Anthony.
No, because the year's wrong. I was going to suggest Peter Pan, but that's not...
No, that's wrong.
Yeah.
Mm. You see, that has magic in it, so I've got a vague idea. He was born like 15 miles from where I am right now, so...
He's fictional.
No, he was born there. There's literally a sign that says Peter Pan's birthplace, and you can go and see where
he was
born.
And if there's a sign, Tony, you know they can't be lying.
Wait, hang on. Is it a sign or a plaque?
Let's get this sorted out.
Hang about.
I believe 1937, both are there.
Okay. 1937, could that be The Hobbit?
No. I am willing to bet a moderate amount of money this is not science fiction or fantasy. It doesn't ping. I feel like I would know. I've read a lot. It's very embarrassing.
All right.
It's outside of the magical areas. It's something annoying. I want to say to the lighthouse, it's very annoying.
Is that a guess?
I'm going to say to the lighthouse on annoyance.
On annoyance. Yes. I like that this is just a category to annoy Liz so far.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, not correct. Something That Happened, a book published in 1937 by a little-known author named John Steinbeck.
Of Mice and Men.
I'm not going to ding it, but there you go. You got it.
Yeah. Well done. Yeah, I
4 points.
100%. I think they dinged it enough for you, Dan.
That's so annoying. Pick a sci-fi book, for goodness sake.
Look, it's hard enough to find good, fun, stupid titles. If you like sci-fi books, stay tuned. All right, let's move on.
Okay. Take
all note. Right, we're going back to Team One. Erica, what book was almost titled Panasonic?
Don't know, but
Sony.
Is it like a VHS instruction manual? I'm sorry, VCR. It's been a while.
Oh, wow. I don't know. I like this as a title.
Yeah, it's good, which means the next one might be worse.
Does Sonic the Hedgehog have a biography that he's published?
Yeah, they didn't like it, though, which is why they panned
it. Oh, ouch.
And a Sonic.
Let's see. What could that be? Like, you know, I'm just trying to think of novels that might have something to do with, like, sound on two sides, back and forth. I'm not coming up with anything.
I'm getting, like, space vibes.
Yeah, it does feel sci-fi-ish to me, but that might just be because I know the company is a technology company.
Right.
Sega and Charles Dickens collaborated together on A Tale of Two Hedgehogs or something.
Ooh. Oh, hell yeah.
A Charles Dickens joint.
Spoiler for a future round, right?
Yeah, I'm writing notes. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
future round, where we just insert the word hedgehog into the name of classic literature.
Panasonic 2. No. I'm not going to say A Tale of Two Cities.
Oh, yeah.
Well ahead of time.
What about like 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea? That sounds like...
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like the original title, 20,000 Leagues, would be like another number, and he's like, no, I got to gussy this up. He's like,
900 leagues. No, that's 20, not far enough.
Yeah, 800 enough. Feet under the sea. No, no. Also, Liz will tell you that that's too close to science fiction for Dan to have used it in this round.
I will go. Hey, I count 1984 as that was acceptable sci-fi. Okay. Also, I knew the answer, so it was doubly good.
I'm going to just throw out a completely random guess because I don't think we have a line on this one yet. Fahrenheit 451.
I like that guess. Unfortunately, no. The year Panasonic was published was 1985.
Oh, I've got it.
Oh, boy. Well,
wow, must
good
be nice
for
to be
you.
Anthony. Yeah, could you dial the smug down a little bit?
I suspected, and then the year confirmed it, yeah.
Tony, have you heard that accent? Mm. He can't dial the smug down.
You're at an 11, and I need you at a 7. Come on.
I don't think I'm going to get this. 1985? Like, there's just... I think I've read way too much from that era that nothing's going to just.
If it helps, that's the year of Springsteen,
year
Madonna. It was way before Nirvana.
More Nirvana. Mm.
I was 3.
We need help. Lex, you're old. Can you tell us what it was like back then?
I was born in 1980.
Yeah, I know.
Lex is younger than I am, Tony. You shut your mouth.
I was mainly taking an opportunity to be mean to Lex.
The scorekeeper. Always a smart move to be mean to the scorekeeper.
And your captain at the same time. That was a bold move.
So there was some splash damage. What are we going to do? The important thing is that we don't dwell on our inability to answer this question.
Right.
I really don't know. Does anybody have like a strong guess, or should I just throw out another random guess? And I'm bad. I'm terrible with years, so I have no idea what books are written in 1985.
Yeah, no,
a random guess is better than what I can do.
Yep. Okay. Starship Troopers.
Oh, I think that was much earlier, but yeah, good guess. Panasonic, probably. 1985, by the author Don DeLillo.
I don't know who that is.
Me neither.
Wow.
I too never heard of this.
This is probably the most obscure, but it's not an obscure book.
Lex, was this the one that you
didn't
know?
Yes, and I
want
to reiterate, Dan promised you had all heard of all of these books.
Yes, and I have so far, but I'm not sure about this one.
Dan hasn't lied to us yet, so it could be an honest mistake. We would forgive him that.
Would we?
Mm-mm. We haven't done so yet.
Yeah, I literally can't guess anything because everything that pops into my head is by an author.
You can then identify. Yeah. Can you name any books that you don't know the author of?
Probably, but not off the top of my head.
We're going to be, it's exciting. Right now we live in a moment where we are like, are we going to be annoyed at ourselves or are we going to be annoyed at Dan?
I have no more random guesses. Can you guys just come up with some 1980s-esque book? Kathy, what were you reading when you were three? Goodnight Moon?
Yeah. Goodnight Moon. We'll do that.
Goodnight Moon. It's not Goodnight Moon.
Oh, okay. Wow.
What is it?
Anthony seemed to have it. I'm going to throw it to Anthony.
Is it White Noise?
It is White Noise, yes.
I've never heard of it.
It was made into a movie in 2022 with Adam Driver. It's a pretty well-known...
Thus making it sci-fi adjacent.
That either. I've never heard of that movie.
Never heard of either.
Wow.
I can't believe we were lied to.
I know.
I'm actually not surprised.
It won the U.S. National Book Award for fiction.
Yeah, who among us hasn't done that?
Good for it.
I always keep up with the U.S. National Book Award winners every year.
I know.
The United States thought it was good.
Yeah,
sure I do. When they're presented in my own country, not the U.S. one.
I feel much better now because I had no shot at that.
Yeah. Okay. No, there was no chance that we were going to.
Dan, a lot of people win things in the U.S., and I don't remember all of them.
Okay, it's officially an episode of Inconceivable now. We're raking Dan over the coals.
That's pretty traditional.
You know, after 10 years, I've had a good run, so maybe this is it. Who knows?
I think if you go back to the first episode, there are like some. I've listened to that episode times, and there's some like people being mad about like. Real basic answers.
Oh, I'm not mad.
So
I think it's hilarious.
Take that, people from 10 years ago.
Tony, we're not mad. We're just disappointed.
All right. let's wrap up round one. Steve.
Yeah,
Dan. What a world we would have lived in if this book had come to pass under its original title, which was Twilight.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, obviously, I have no idea.
Original title. Wow.
I mean, I'm guessing something, you know, on the horror side of things.
Well, Dracula still on the board.
Dracula is on the board.
It can't be Dracula.
So is Hemingway.
If he goes to 1897, we'll know.
Also things like The Big Sleep, you know, noirish stuff. I could see a title like that. You know, or Golden Key or something like that.
Twilight. Okay. Dusk. Evening.
Those were books 2 and 3 in the trilogy.
At evening.
Dusk
night.
Or
morning.
Dusk or dust.
Yeah. You know, titles, were, titles are hard.
I mean, we just did Pitch Black.
I mean, it could just be something that's the end of an era. True. Like, is there something where...
Anthony, Pitch Black is the opposite of White Noise.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sort of Twilight of the
I
Gods.
I would say The Great Gatsby, but we know it's not that.
Yeah, I haven't got a clue. Nothing.
It's also not White Noise.
Pings up.
Okay, good. White Noise is off the board. Thank goodness, because I was really leaning towards
I just
this
kept
book.
Wanting to guess that one.
The key is to listen for hints. Like if Lex says, I haven't heard of this one, and it's on this on the list twice. That's wrong.
Twilight.
Okay.
Wait, Lex, were you about to say you haven't heard of this one either?
No.
Wow.
Okay. I've heard of
it. No,
this
you haven't
one.
Heard of it, or no, you weren't going to say
no,
that.
I wasn't going to say it. Right. I have heard of it. Who's, I haven't not heard
okay,
of it.
Okay, good.
Who's got the list of all the books Lex has heard of?
ChatGPT, I think.
Okay.
Is it similar to the list of movies he's seen? Because it could be very small. We may have a very small pool of things. He's seen a lot more lately, but... what?
Yeah, I got nothing.
I mean, I'm thinking...
Wait, To the Lighthouse.
No. Yeah.
Which, sooner or later.
There is light in that title.
I was thinking maybe something like Passage to India could also, you know, you could see that.
Or that one when they're in the middle of Africa... About the dude going mad in the jungle because the jungle's like.
Yeah, I was just going to say the one that Apocalypse Now was based on.
Conrad.
Title,
Joseph Conrad.
Heart of Darkness.
Actually could be, couldn't it?
I like it. It's got darkness in it, even.
No, don't pick that. Up,
well, we don't have anything better, Liz.
Okay, pick it. And if it's right, I'm amazing, actually.
I was thinking the same thing, but yes, you are amazing. So, Heart of Darkness.
I like it. It's actually a guess. It's not correct. Twilight was published under its actual title in 1929.
Oh, God, it's To the Lighthouse. One of these has got to be To the Lighthouse.
The last one in the round, if it's not this one.
29?
So that would be two I hadn't heard of.
Could it be The 39 Steps?
Its sequel was 3, The Lighthouse.
Ugh, that's also horrible. These are all terrible
books. It's about
books.
The right era for a book, and it might be a little late.
Sorry, the 30s are not to my taste.
Oh, it's not The Hobbit again.
Technically 1929.
No. Oh, is it like, yeah, it could be like a
Daniel Hammett kind of 20s, 30s, and the 10s. Everything was bad for 30 years in writing.
Yeah, it does feel more and more like a noirish detective thing when you say
1929. Is okay, that...
Well, I think one of us here is a mystery writer, something so let's Hammett-y. Ask them and blame them
I can't actually
wrong.
Remember if 29 is too early. Is that too early for Hammett? Or...
I don't know.
I got nothing.
Who else we got?
It's Ellery not my field. Queen?
Yeah, I couldn't name an Ellery Queen novel, unfortunately.
I couldn't name a Raymond Chandler novel, so, you know, I'm sure whatever wild guess you make towards it. I want to say To the Lighthouse, though.
The Big Sleep?
Yes, I've heard of that one.
Which really, is something you do with Twilight?
There's a Star Trek episode called The Big Goodbye, and I think it might have been a riff on Big Sleep.
Cultural touchstone are fun.
See, I know about Star Trek. Ask a Star Trek question.
I'm fairly sure Big Sleep was 30s, not 20s, but don't quote me, man. I'm reaching here. Man, it's tricky, isn't it?
The Steps thing is as good as anything. I mean, you threw it out there, so you accessed some corner of your mind but that has previously been locked up.
If it is To the Lighthouse, of course, I'll go very upset.
We'll all be upset. It's bloody wolf. Should we say that?
So much. Yeah,
yeah, let's say it.
I believe in you and your mad
guesses.
I
don't, but all right. 39 Steps?
Not correct. Nah. The book, originally titled Twilight, published in 1929, Steve's Going to Be Mad, by William Faulkner.
Oh, it's Sound of the Fury. I was going to say that.
It is indeed Sound of the Fury. I know. I heard you mention it before in one of the last questions. I was like, well, it's coming up.
I'm going to bring it up this time, too, as a guess.
But we'd have been tricked into thinking because you'd already mentioned it. It couldn't possibly
that's
be
right.
this now.
That's how, how it works.
I call it the To the Lighthouse effect.
All right. That's 4 points for that question. We have reached the end of round one. I'm sure you're all breathing a sigh of relief. Lex,
what are the scores? Hemingway in there? There wasn't, was there? After
none.
All that.
None. How many Draculas? Also none.
Both teams started out strong, Dan, getting 10 points in the first round, but things went downhill quickly. So now we have team one with 14 points and team two with 18.
Yeah, which team are
we're
we?
We're team two.
Two, I think. Yay! Okay.
I'm not sure how we managed that.
Steve, you're number two.
I always am. It's true.
All right, let's move on to round two, the first of our fake-off rounds.
You fake off.
Okay. Hey. In which team one must find the real answer. You may bid between 1 and 10 points in your knowledge of the following category. If you find the correct answer, you will get that number of points. If you fail to find that correct answer, you will lose that number of points. Your category is science fictional substances.
Substances.
Substances. Interesting.
Substances.
I just have to contribute the fact that the topic never matters to me personally.
True.
But I say we go all in.
Yes. I just feel like we're
it's
not
gonna make
great.
A difference.
Who cares? Who cares? Let's just yes 10 points.
Yes.
That's the spirit after 10 years.
10 points.
Old and saucy.
10 points on the board.
10 points, one for each year that this has been around.
Thank you. Oh, that's very sweet. Aww. All right. Team one, your word is Smuta. S-E-M-U-T-A. And to give you a definition, let's start with Anthony.
Smuta is a synthetic compound designed for use as non-lethal ammunition in bolt blasters. Now, it expands in air to pin down its targets and is also sometimes used as a sex toy.
Same.
Okay.
That took a real left turn at the end there. Did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Could be non-lethal ammunition, sometimes doubling as a sex toy. Could be something else entirely. Liz, what is Smuta?
Smuta, dear travelers, is a miracle tree sap that I can sell you for a very reasonable price. Harvested from the mysterious jungle worlds of Gravo, which, when irradiated and mixed with astrological minerals, and by astrological I mean they're from asteroids, and it occurs to me that was not a good way to rephrase this part, is used to fuel starships. And it is not, as far as I know, used as either a sex toy or some manner of weird-ass aphrodisiac that can also make things go faster than light.
All right.
Okay.
Could be a tree sap, miracle tree sap, that can be turned into spaceship fuel. Could be that non-lethal ammunition still. Could be something else entirely. Steve, what is Smuta?
Ah, my friends on Team 1, please ignore these silly people from across the pond. They clearly don't know what they're talking about. Because, of course, Smuta is a narcotic drug derived from burned wood residue, which, when combined with specific vibrations, brings about timeless, sustained ecstasy.
Wow. More of that,
yeah,
please.
It's pretty good.
All right. Could be that narcotic drug. Could be the sap that becomes a spaceship fuel. Or it could be that non-lethal ammunition. Somehow, it is one of those, Team One, but you must decide which.
I feel like it's the tree sap, and I don't know why.
Yeah, I guess I was somewhat drawn to the narcotic in part, but that may just have been, the word substance was said, and I thought narcotic. We can all agree that, like, when Liz is talking, she just sounds like she's lying, right?
Right. Yeah. And see, my initial thought was...
Just got a real lie voice. It's not...
My initial thought was the non-lethal ammunition that doubles as a sex toy, just because it's so out there. But then also, Anthony read it. And as a writer, it's entirely possible that he would create something as fantastic.
I mean,
as
Liz
that.
Is also a
He's
writer.
He's not the only writer on this.
Also,
I'm sorry.
You do know
I'm
that
sorry.
We don't make these up ourselves, well, necessarily.
Just because he's the fantastically successful one. I'm rude.
I agree with Liz.
Dan, you don't count.
That's exactly the point.
So, are we split three ways? Is that what the situation
is? We very much are. Hey, remember we were talking about needing dice before the game?
Yes. Yes, I like that. So, like, 1 and 4 is 1. 2 and 5 is 2.
So, we're just gambling our 10 points now?
Yes.
I mean, unless you have an actual better idea.
Any of these could be it.
You're the captain.
That's the idea.
I mean, unless you want to talk me, I just don't think I can be talked around to any of these others because I don't.
You got to think like a Dan. Do you think Dan picked a sex toy one? I don't know.
But it is the 10th anniversary, so I feel like you know.
Is that the sex toy anniversary?
It is. It's the latex year.
Wow, we had a good run, and the show was canceled.
We're going out with a bang.
Yeah, we finally had to push the content warning button. Good job.
Yeah, the only time I ever feel confident about this round is when I actually know the answer, and that's happened a couple of times. But this is not one of them.
Yeah. I'm fine with anything. And honestly, I think rolling a dice might be the best option.
The drama of a dice roll to answer a trivia question. Wow. Usually, we ask the dice rolls to ask the questions.
But nope. Okay, so. 1 and 2 is Anthony's, 3 and 4 is Liz's, and 5 and 6 is Steve's.
Sure.
Roll. Ooh.
Okay, but then when we get the result, let's see if we argue about it, because that...
Yeah, all right. So.
It's a 6. That's the one that you wanted, Tony.
I feel great about this.
All right. You know what? Fine. Let's go.
All right. We're going to say the narcotic.
Okay. So they have said, Steve, that Samuti is a narcotic. Is that correct?
Well... First, I want to say there's absolutely no honor in this, Team One, but yes, you are correct.
I can't believe you went to all that effort and then were outdone by a dice roll.
A dice roll. Undone by
Let's
a dice
be fair.
Roll.
You went to all that effort.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Brilliant.
Wow. I think that is the first time a die roll has been used in this game, and that it's also worked on the first try, so now everyone's going to do it, which is the worst.
Team, I think we absolutely have to decide by dice roll as well.
Think so,
the
yeah.
important
yeah.
thing is I was right.
Yes, that's true.
Have I ever mentioned how much I hate the fake-off round?
Ditto to what Ed said.
It's all about playing the people.
Yeah. Delightful.
All right.
I'm also disappointed
it wasn't a sex toy.
I don't want to play people. I want to know obscure facts about genre stuff and show them off.
Good news. Let's segue into. First, let's do a score update. Lex, I'm sure that had a slight alteration.
Indeed, the lead has changed entirely, Dan. Now Team 1 is in the lead with 24 points, and Team 2 remains stuck at 18.
Yeah, those points have an asterisk next to them.
Not the first time in this. All right, let's move on to round 3. Entitled, And They Say Romanticy Is Dead. This round comes to us from frequent contributor and listener, Kat Banish, who has no other relationship to the show.
Does she appear on any other podcast?
Yes. If you want to catch more of her, you can catch her on A Complicated Profession with some other people that we don't really
care
about.
I don't
care
for that one.
Yeah, that's not great. In honor of Valentine's Day, which is upcoming as we record this, and a recent prominent romanticy release, I'm going to give you several book titles from a given romanticy series, but one of them is fake.
Dan, ooh, you're first going to have to explain what the hell romanticy is.
I it's like romance this. Fantasy. I'm excited, guys.
It's Roman fantasy.
It's,
re-
oh, it's fantasies involving Roman Mars.
All right. All right. Okay. Come on, come on.
For 5 points, tell me which title is fake. And for another 5, tell me the author of this series. So, for example, if I gave you the titles Onyx Storm, Fourth Wing, Emerald Claw, and Iron Flame, someone out there probably knows that one of those is not real. Anybody?
Yes. Emerald Storm.
Emerald Claw,
Rebecca
yes.
Yaros.
Yes.
Or Emerald oh whatever. God. I don't know. I was paying attention.
All right.
This is a hell of a way to celebrate my birthday, Dan.
Happy birthday, Steve. Speaking of which, Anthony, let's start with you.
Oh, God.
Dragon Flight. Dragon Quest. Dragon Song. Dragon Dance. And the Dolphins of Pern.
Yeah, okay. So I'll
confirm one of these
my team.
Is real or one of
one
them,
is,
them
is not real.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Dragon Quest and the series is by Anne McCaffrey, but I'm checking with my team before I give my final answer. Liz, Steve, what
I
do you think?
I too would go for that. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's definitely Anne McCaffrey, but is Dragon
yeah,
Quest?
It's definitely Anne McCaffrey.
Is Quest the
I'm
fake
pretty
one?
Sure Dragon Quest is a computer game.
Right.
But also, I don't think it's Anne McCaffrey.
I don't recall coming across.
I do not remember one called that.
No, nor me.
In my defense, if this is wrong, so I don't look too stupid, I haven't read McCaffrey for like 2+ decades,
yeah, well,
but
ditto,
my
yeah.
memory's okay.
Yeah. I mean, my memory is terrible, but... but
okay,
it's all that Samuda.
Yeah.
I want to say that my memory's terrible. It's not. It's amazing. But... I am prepared after 2 decades to say it might get rusty.
Yeah. But yeah, I
agree.
I think it's Quest. Steve, any opinion?
Listen, I abstain. I know nothing of this.
Okay.
I'm proud of that.
All right, so we'll say Dragon Quest. It's from the Dragon series by Anne McCaffrey.
So you've got Anne McCaffrey correct. That is not the incorrect title.
Oh, no.
Dragon Quest is book 2 in the
Are you
series.
Joking, is it?
Dragon yes. Dance is not a title. Though I also read the series and had to look the and like, you know, I looked all these up, double checking them, and I did not believe that one was not one.
Man. I feel like Erica and I got ghost points on that round a little bit, yeah.
That is so, I'm getting old. It's so sad. Yeah. Oh.
Is Double Dragon based happened. On these books?
Yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay. That makes sense.
Kat just told me how much she enjoyed the idea of the Dolphins of Pern being a real book in that series.
I owned that book.
I've read all of these, but it was many, many years ago. Yep. Like Liz, well over 2 decades.
I read them about a few years ago in not... publishing order, but like in chronological order.
Oh, yeah,
order.
Yeah.
Highly
oh.
recommend. Oh, wow.
That's how I
no,
watched the Star Wars movies.
Never. No, 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 no. Erica, it makes more sense.
Oh, my God. Nick, you're like those people who think they can watch the Star Wars movies in chronological order.
Dan made me do that.
No.
I did
no,
make Lex
no.
do that, because I mean.
Bad God. Those are bad people, okay?
I'm not hey, I'm right that- here. All right, we're moving on.
Yes, please.
Bad person takes control.
Kathy.
Yes.
Shadows of Culloden, Outlander, Dragonfly in Amber, Go Tell the Bees That I Am Gone, and Drums of Autumn.
Okay, so it's obviously Shadows of Culloden
is the one that's...
And Diana Gabaldon is the Shadows of Culloden. Oh, wait, hold on.
We're looking for the fake one.
I like Go Tell the Bees That I'm Gone as like a Star Trek The Original Series episode name, but Kathy, continue.
Okay, yes, no, I was correct. Shadows of Culloden is not the correct novel by Diana Gabaldon. The other 4 I can guarantee are correct.
10
I,
points.
I trust you implicitly.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
Well
very
done.
Nice.
Okay. I got nervous though because there were a lot of novellas and like other books that could potentially have been Shadows of Culloden, but... it is not.
This is like that time when Dan gave Liz a Doctor Who question.
Yes. I like that.
Let's note that I also didn't give that one to the team with a Scottish person on.
Right.
I hate that. How dare you? I've never read...
Been to Scotland.
Outlander or its sequels. Just once.
How,
I mean,
how dare
I? Let's be real here. Outlander is Doctor Who fanfic, and
yes, exactly.
But to the extent that I have edited Diane Gabaldon an essay, Doctor essay true. She wrote about Doctor Who.
Yep. Amazing.
That's why this writing the show is tricky at times. All right,
yes,
Liz, I believe
right,
we're back to
okay.
you.
Oh no, okay, I'm scared now.
A Court of Mist and Fury.
Oh.
A Court of Thorns and Roses. A Court of Wings and Ruin. A Court of Silver Flames. And A Court of Storms and Sorrow.
This is the worst grocery list I've ever seen.
Okay, no, because I was starting. I've got. This is. I've got the first one, which I'm relatively sure is the Thorns one. It's by Sergio Mas, mm-hmm. And
I'm afraid I haven't read them, so I can't help you.
What were they all? I have got.
The Thorns one is literally the only title that I know.
Yeah. What are the other ones? Can you say them again?
I will reread it. A Court of Mist and Fury, A Court of Thorns and Roses, A Court of Wings and Ruin, A Court of Silver Flames, and A Court of Storms and Sorrow.
Well, only one of them doesn't have an and.
Right, which means it's probably real, just to catch us out.
Yeah. Okay. And can you tell me what color the covers of these books are?
Not only do I not know. No.
Which edition, Liz?
The one where the first one is red. Because it's like blood or something, because that's what I have.
In theory, all books are red.
Hey.
Oh, boy.
Not all of Dan.
Hey, Lex is still here.
All right. I'm sure I'm going to...
Mist and Fury? I mean, that's... I haven't heard of that, but I haven't heard of the others
think
either.
That was the one I was most sure of. There was another one. So Mist and Fury. We're going to go for the... It sounds the same as... So what were the two that weren't Thorns or Mist and Fury or the one thing? What were the other two?
Wings and Ruin.
Silver Flame.
Silver Flame. And
which is the one without the end.
Yeah.
And
what was the last one, Dan?
Storms, A Court of Storms and Sorrow.
Sorrow. So Storms and Sorrow or Wings and Ruin. And I feel like I should roll a dice for it.
This question is to die for.
Become a mechanic.
Dare I do this? I have to pop.
Gambling is addictive, Dan.
Okay.
Be sympathetic.
There's no money at stake here.
Okay, Storms and Sorrow.
Wait,
Wings.
What?
Sorry, yes, just for me. There's money for me. Not money for any of you.
Well, that seems unfair.
Yeah, this is all a complicated money laundering.
Worst money laundering scheme
ever.
All
right, we're going to go for Storms and Sorrow, I think.
All right, you're saying A Court of Storms and Sorrow is the incorrect title, and you had the author as...
Sergio Mas.
10 points.
Yes!
Hey!
Well done.
I didn't even use a coin. I just flipped it in my head.
What?
Does that mean? Never mind.
Nope.
That's not how that works.
All right.
We also call that making a decision. Just going to put that
Tony.
Out there.
Yeah. Tony, this one's right up your alley.
Oh.
Which of these is not a real title from the series? Paladin's Grace. Paladin's Honor. Paladin's Strength, Paladin's Hope, and Paladin's Faith. You love paladins, right?
Well, pal of mine.
That's Paladin. I'm sorry.
Paladin. It is, and I turn to Kathy and Erica. Okay. Have you heard of any of these?
Yeah. Yes. I haven't read them, though, so I don't know. Do you know, Kathy?
No, actually, this is the first one I don't know. But my initial thought is for strength, because the other four
religious coded.
That's what I was thinking too, and also like I know I've heard of a number of them, but that one didn't sound familiar, so I feel like things
seems like a pretty reasonable guess.
Sure. Yeah.
Paladin strength.
Do you have an author?
Shoot, it wouldn't be Ursula Vernon, it would be T. Kingfisher, if these are the books I'm thinking of. I mean, they're both her, but she uses one pen name for her, like...
Wait, what? T. Kingfisher is Ursula Vernon?
Yes.
What?
Did you not know that's
Mind
Ursula?
Mind blown.
Whoa. Okay.
Yeah, she uses her real name for, like, the, you know, comics and, like, kids stuff.
Yeah.
And her more grown-up-y ones
her romanticy. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Well, I've learned something.
I am blown away.
This is a very educational podcast now. A very useful educational podcast.
See?
Dan, we provided that education.
I provided the framework for the education, and that way I am a teacher.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Cool. Well,
yeah, well like you're like the government, I guess.
Oh,
please,
no.
Please no. All right. What was your
everything
answer?
In this round is new information to me, and I'm going to burn it out of my head as quickly as possible. As soon as this
happens. We're saying Paladin's Strength is not real, and that the T. Kingfisher. Like, I could be wrong about everything, but
Yeah, I'm good with your guess.
All right, well, you get 5 points for T. Kingfisher. Unfortunately, that is not the incorrect title. The incorrect title was Paladin's Honor. Paladins have no honor, obviously.
See, these are in my to be read list, and yeah, I haven't studied that list.
All books.
Read faster.
Wow.
All right, Steve, I know this is your favorite category so far.
Yeah, Dan, I'm playing the rest of this game under protest. Two rounds about books is not even reasonable.
Whoa.
Your titles are Two Sparrows for a Penny, The Eagle and the Nightingales,
Go Birds,
The Lark and the Wren,
Sparrows,
4 and 20 Blackbirds, and The Robin and the Kestrel.
So does anybody, first of all, does anybody on my team have any idea what he just did?
The only book I know called 4 and 20 Blackbirds is actually by a friend of mine, Sherry Priest, but I'm pretty sure she hasn't written books with those other titles, so yeah, I'm a bit clueless.
I'm sure I remember a book that's got the word kestrel in it. That's unusual.
Relatively unusual, yeah. It's not that
common. A listener note, we're recording this episode on Super Bowl Sunday, and so every time Dan mentions eagle, I get very excited. I just thought I'd put that out there.
Go Birds.
All right. What was the first one again?
Two sparrows for a penny.
Two sparrows.
Which isn't eagle and the nightingale, the lark and the wren, 4 and 20 blackbirds, robin and the kestrel. We've got ands again.
Yeah.
In 4 out of 5.
I'm tempted to say Two Sparrows for a Penny isn't the real one, just because it's the only one that, like, 4 and 20 blackbirds obviously is a real phrase. I've never heard two pennies for a sparrow, or whatever it was.
None of this feels... No, I feel like I have... The thing is, I also feel like I have never seen a book with the word kestrel and a fantasy book. Any book. I can't think of any book with the word kestrel. It's just so weird. I feel like if I'd seen it...
I wrote a book called The Kestrels. A role-playing supplement like 25 years ago.
Yeah, but not like a real book.
What does that tell you, Anthony? What does that tell you?
Kestrels are not testing well with the focus groups these days.
I think I should be very forgiven for not having heard of a 25-year-old role-playing supplement.
I will never forgive you.
I feel that, you know, browsing among the SFF, I just can't think of it. What I'm suggesting is that either that's the wrong one out, or I don't know what it is because I've never come across it, so it's
all right.
Not popular enough to be in bookstores, or it's too old.
I believe at this point my teammates will agree what we're doing is known as wanking. So,
no, actually, given that both of your teammates are British.
Yeah, what's that about? What's he suggesting? What kind of podcast is this?
I think this feels very much like we're just farting around here,
spinning our wheels.
I don't think there's any way that. I'm leaning towards Two Sparrows for a Penny for reasons. And what's your friend's name, Anthony?
Okay. It's Sherry Priest, but it's not going to be Sherry.
I want to protest and go for Kestrel, but sure, whatever.
Okay.
I haven't heard... Oh, okay, fine.
Your input is noted.
Let's get an answer.
You're so mad about the books.
Books are so dumb. Two Sparrows for a Penny by Sherry Priest. But not by Sherry Priest, because it's the fake one.
I'll tell you what. Two Sparrows for a Penny is the fake title. I will note, though, it is from Matthew 10:29. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? So it does have other references to it.
Oh, okay.
It was not the correct author,
oh,
however.
Oh, God, another book.
That one's pretty good, I hear. It's all right.
2.5 stars on Goodreads.
The fandom is...
Does anybody on the other side happen to know who wrote this series?
I've never heard of any of these.
No, but I do want to call out that Tony did call Two Sparrows for a Penny is biblical. In our private, not Anthony, our Tony, in our team chat.
But yeah, so 5 points for that.
You
this
have
was
team chat.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's where we talk crap about you guys.
That's just the internet, isn't it?
All right, 5 points for Two Sparrows for a Penny, written by a little known author named Mercedes Lackey.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I'm embarrassed too.
That's the Bardic Voices series.
What is this? Yep. Okay, right. I have to remember. I'm looking at Kestrel Mercedes Lackey. There's no way I could believe that's real.
It's a real book. Liz, by this time next year, please read 5 books with the word Kestrel in the title.
If there are 5.
The Kestrel by Lloyd Alexander is an excellent book.
There's got to be some nonfiction books about...
I am not reading Anthony's RPG supplement from 25 years ago.
No, you're playing it. All right, let's finish this out. Erica, A Kingdom of Flesh and Fire, A Heart of Fire and Ember, A Crown of Gilded Bones, From Blood and Ash, A Soul of Ash and Blood.
Okay.
Kathy?
Okay, so the fourth one. Oh gosh, there's so many
there's
words.
A lot of words there.
Yeah. Can I please get the
Actually, read it slowly so we can jot it
could
down?
Could you copy and paste the text in the chat so I can read it?
How much work am I doing here?
You should copy and paste long
Or you
of
could
text.
Just read
That's
it again very, very slowly.
It would have to be slow enough for me to write it down.
Don't I copy and paste the answer.
That is a good point. Chat. Which yes. is why okay, I'm not going to do too. This, because that is inconvenient for me. I'll read them again very
okay.
slowly.
Okay.
A kingdom of flesh and fire.
Mm-hmm.
A heart of fire and ember.
Ah.
Thank you, Steve. I appreciate it. Otherwise, it's dead air. It's no good. The crown of gilded bones.
Oh, yes.
From blood and ash. And, of course... A soul of ash and blood.
Again, with the blood and ash.
Okay. So I know that From Blood and Ash is from a series of Jessica Ajmanimanime.
Now you have course. To type that in chat for me.
Judges? Oh, now people want things written out.
It's like... there's a couple L's and it starts with like AM and because it doesn't matter. I don't read words and remember them. Anyways.
Just remember titles.
Yes.
Okay. Is this American Wanking?
we've been doing this for 3 seconds.
Title.
No.
We're definitely getting canceled.
I'm pretty sure Heart of Fire and Ember is also one of those.
Okay.
What about Gilded Bones?
That's the one I'm feeling.
Roll them Gilded Bones.
Oh, yeah.
I'm feeling no for it. My heart is saying no to Crown of Gilded Bones.
But your eyes are saying
yes.
I don't
know why. But my art, yeah.
So you're sure about Blood and Ash?
I am sure about Blood and Ash.
And
it's Jennifer with a middle initial, and then I can see the covers, kind of. There's like flowers and like swords crossed.
Yes, romanticing.
Check.
Yep.
Story checks out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. I don't know for sure, but Crown of Gilded Bones would be my guess, I guess. Or we could roll a dice, which is also an option.
Dan doesn't like it when we do that, and we're gonna try and get partial credit for the last name we can't remember. So that would be unkind.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
And I would rather go with your gut, like
okay,
because I don't have a gut feeling about this, and I'm guessing Tony doesn't either.
Oh, now they want to go with their gut and avoid the dice.
We're allowed to do different things.
Wow. If you have a gut feeling, you go with the gut feeling. We didn't have one before, so that's why we chose the dice.
Wow. Yeah. All right, let's talk about Anthony in the group chat here.
Your gut feeling was to choose dice.
Yes. I mean, that's usual for me. But yeah, I say it, yes. We're going with Kathy's gut, and we're going to say the Crown of Gilded Bones by... Was it Jessica or Jennifer?
Jennifer. I might have said Jessica first, Jennifer L something.
That starts with an A. Yeah.
In the 80s, I had a highlighter green sweater that said "Choose Dice" on the front.
That also checks out. Okay. Well, you did not get the correct title.
Oh darn it!
That was a Heart of Fire and Ember, not real. Everything else, not really. Lex. I'm going to let you arbitrage that one.
I think that was a lot of author name to get. So I think that's worth a solid 2 points.
So I'm going
to
give you 2 points for Jennifer L. Armentrout. What a great name. Armentrout. Yep. Come on.
Oh, Armentrout.
Did they steal that from Breaking Bad?
It's not spelled the same way on Breaking Bad. It's with an E on Breaking Bad. So I think Breaking Bad could have
been sounds the same.
Yeah.
I bet they spelled it and then changed a letter.
It depends on whether you went to Ellis Island or Alice Island. You know?
All right. We are coming back around to... That was the end of round three. We are going to be to round four, which is the second of our fake-off rounds.
You fake-off again.
You fake-off 10th anniversary edition. But before we go through those, Lex, where are the scores after that round?
Well, those 2 points were potentially more meaningful than I realized.
Scorekeeper. Making
noted.
It interesting.
Team 2 has 38 points, leaving them 3 points behind Team 1 with its 41 points.
Ooh, all right. Very close going into this fake-off round. So, as a reminder,
fake off.
This is Teams 2. opportunity to find the real answer. They can bid between 1 and 10 points. You know how it works. You get the points, you get it right. You lose the points, you get it wrong. Your category is sci-fi technology. I know.
It's a little broad, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, sorry, sci-fi substances was very specific.
It's very specific.
On Steve's behalf, I'd like to ask, is this technology in books?
I'm not going to tell you.
You know it is, Liz.
All right.
Yeah, could be movies. Could be movies.
He on, loves
On
books.
The bright side, I have read sci-fi books. On the negative side, the stuff is normally very obscure. Yeah. On the other side, should we do the honorable
thing? How many sides are there?
There's a lot of... It's like a D20. It's a D20, yeah. Okay.
Wait, what was the category again? Something that happened? Is that, that was
I mean, they did this throwing dice.
Well, if we do a small amount, we can either be very close to or slightly above the other team.
Yeah, basically, it came out to do we want to look honorable or do we want to try and actually win the game?
We haven't rolled the dice yet, so I feel like we're already up on honor.
We're so close. We're so close to them in terms of points. I'm tempted to just gamble one.
and be
done with it, and then like hope we can catch up in the final round. Because I have a feeling we're probably not going to get this, and we don't want to be 13 points behind.
I mean, if we do three, we can tie with them if we happen to get it right.
Yeah, I would vote in gambling.
Yeah, but then
for three.
If we get it wrong, we're 6 points down.
Yeah, but if we get it right, we're even.
Should it's we the half die? Full and half empty.
How confident are you?
Now, your time for your answer includes your time for your score bet.
I got an idea, guys. Let's roll a die for our bet.
But please argue about what size die you're going to roll.
I'm going to defer to our honorable captain.
What die would you like to roll to determine what die you will roll?
Yeah.
Stop.
Yeah, this is on you, fearless leader.
That's basically Dungeons and Dragons, actually. All right.
we'll split the difference and gamble two.
Okay.
All right.
If we lose by 1 point, though, we're going to be really mad at you.
2 points on the board.
What if we know it?
For the word veridicator. What is a veridicator? Let's find out. Kathy, what's a veridicator?
I don't know, Dan. What's a veridicator with you?
Hey! Back to the sex toys again.
A veridicator, by the way, in case anyone cares, is a device that measures physical responses and translates them into colors that show whether a person is telling the truth.
Okay, so it could be some sort of lie detecting device. Could be something else entirely. Tony, what's a veridicator?
A veridicator is an automatic system that monitors crops on a human colony planets.
Okay, farming or lie detectors or something else entirely. Mm-hmm. Erica, what's a veridicator?
Veridicator is a ruthless robot assassin that enforces the laws of the truth, an authoritarian regime that spans several planets. And I will tell you that the truth, that's capital T in the, capital T in truth, the truth.
How's this word spelled, just out of curiosity?
V-E-R-I-D-I-C-A-T-O-R. So it's either a robot assassin, a system for managing crops, or some kind of lie detector, but it's one of those. Team 2, you must make your decision.
I want to say it's the crop one because it's being super sneaky because veridicator, veritas, truth, the other two respond to truth. So they've cleverly done it to distract us, and it actually somehow is about crops.
Well, yeah, they've done it.
Two of them are obviously about truth, but the crops one also relates to irrigation, veridicator, so, you know.
That's just badly written. No one would write that badly.
I immediately leaned crop monitoring because you got very for the truth telling color thing, and but then you've got like veridicator just sounds like an assassin robot. So.
But if that's the real one, that would be a reason for them to come up with a fake one that is also about truth.
This is why this is around. It's about reading them and not the cool thing about, it's related to these words via Latin or something. No, it's about what would their sneaky tactics
be? I'll invite you back for the language round, Liz.
I'm sorry.
Can we at least agree that this is a dumb word and that the author of the original text probably could have come up with something better?
Look, this is probably from Anthony's RPG text about farming tools.
Yeah. The Kestrel's Veridicator. Yeah.
Did very well. Does anybody feel really strongly?
Where are you leaning, if not the crop monitoring, Anthony?
Well, I'm thinking, if not the crop monitoring, I'm actually thinking maybe the first one, the lie detector.
So it monitors physical responses and turns them into colors, and somehow the colors indicate truth or falsity.
Yeah, but it, you know, could be wacky sci-fi stuff. You know, I don't know. Yeah. The robot assassin just sounds. Mind you, the robot assassin sounds so on the nose that maybe it could be true. You know, if it's like Robert Heinlein or something.
Yeah, but that, I mean, it's always stupid to consider the category here. But sci-fi technology and robot assassin. I didn't think there was anything specifically technology about that.
Well, apart from a being a robot.
Well, yeah, but I mean, come on. I've got a little red robot that vacuums my floor now. It's barely sci-fi.
It's going to kill you in about 20 yeah, minutes.
How many assassins does Steve have in
it's
his house?
It's a long play.
It's 8 or 9.
Don't ask.
I don't know.
Oh, man. So we're all split again. We're all three of us think it's something different. So
no, I'm crap monitoring with Liz.
No, I am very happy to. We maintain the moral high ground. We don't throw a lot of dice. And I will defer to our noble captain and mentally add on 5 points because we didn't throw a dice.
Or get this, we could continue to argue about something we have no way of working out over 2 points.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Okay, well, let's do that instead. Then.
This is one of the reasons why I thought, let's go low.
All right, well.
When
I
they go
ten.
High, because you know your team.
You go low.
Yeah.
I defer to our leader.
All right, then. All right, so yeah, we're going to say the lie detector.
Okay, they think it is a lie detector, Kathy. Is that what a veridicator is?
This is a lie. That is not correct. Wait, that's
wait, are
that
you
goes,
the one
right?
that tells the truth always, or the one that always lies?
I can't remember.
But in this particular case,
I am telling the truth, and I did read the correct definition.
That was correct. Oh. You got
what?
It.
What?
Well done.
What? Oh my goodness! I can't believe you didn't double buff us with crops or something.
Way to steer us out of the rapids, there, Anthony. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Anthony,
we're still
why?
Down by one.
Oh, yeah, you're down by one.
Why
but
did
close.
We bet 3 points, Anthony?
That was a successful 2-point conversion, however, getting you to 41 to 40, trailing by
all right. Our own little tush-push.
Very
tush-push.
All right, we'll right past that one.
We were done with the romantic.
It was a football reference,
do we
folks.
Have to move past that one, Dan? I'd like to get into that a little bit.
It's a reference to a famous play by the Philadelphia Eagles, which they prefer to call the brotherly shove. You know.
The brotherly shove, yeah.
I don't like
oh
that either.
Oh, my God.
All right. One round left to go. Nothing left to play for but the entire game. Round 5 is entitled My Word is My Bond.
Words?
Oh, my God.
He didn't finish the title yet.
Sorry, I didn't finish the title. I didn't finish the title.
Are found in books?
I didn't finish the title. Lex is totally right. Round 5 is called My Word is My Bond. James Bond. Try not to make a mess of it, 007. We've mashed up 2 movie titles. One of them from the James Bond franchise. From the following melded plots, give me the new movie title. For
Dan,
example.
Can I ask a quick question? Do you appreciate when your contestants make sounds of disgust while you explain the game?
What could possibly keep me going after 10 years if I did not feed off that list?
Just kidding.
All right, so as an example, Bond must team up with a Chinese intelligence agent to stop a media baron from ushering in a new ice age with a trio of superstorms.
Okay, so it's got to be the day after tomorrow is never... Wait. Tomorrow Never Dies? Is that
the day after Tomorrow Never Dies? You got it.
Yep.
That's okay. That's where we
for
are.
0 points.
So it's one Bond movie and one non-Bond movie.
That's correct. Kathy?
Right, okay.
Yes.
Start with you. Stuck in a building full of terrorists, Bond must uncover a drug cartel's secret owner. Watch out for crocodiles.
Always good advice.
Sounds like it's Die Hard and something. It's the building full of terrorists.
Okay. Crocodile Hard times TV. <That's> not...
Is that the name of a James Bond movie? Crocodile
that's
Hard?
True. I was just thinking Crocodile Dundee.
Is James Bond in Crocodile Dundee? I haven't seen it in a while.
I blacked out already that it's James Bond. I'm sorry.
I had the same thought.
I hate James Bond.
Yeah, same. Okay.
Live and Let Die Hard.
Yes.
Sorry. Kathy. That's...
Yes. No,
sorry.
No.
I'm ringing the bell.
No.
You got
no,
it.
No, please.
Yeah, you said it. I rang the bell. Live and Let Die Hard was correct.
Yes. Yes. Yep.
Okay. Still thinking about a version of Crocodile Dundee with James Bond in it.
I know. That would be great. Oh, does the crocodile eat him?
The crossover we deserved but never got.
Live and Let Crocodile.
Antony, a person who doesn't know anything about James Bond, probably. Spectre attempts to discredit and assassinate Bond by showing up at his house on Christmas with a series of cue cards.
Oh,
okay. So, correct me if I'm wrong, team. Is that Love Actually?
Yes.
I've never seen it.
It's Love
seen
Actually.
The memes.
It's horrible, horrible Love Actually. Don't watch it.
Okay, so that would... be presumably the spy who Love Actually. That's pretty bad. If
or
that's
from
right.
Russia with Love Actually.
Right, which, I'm oh, from Russia with Love Actually. Of course, because that's Spectre.
There you
yes,
go. That's
yes,
much better.
Are. That's better. From Russia with Love Actually.
I have James Bond knowledge.
Well done.
Yeah, well done.
I too have watched the Bond James agent shooter person.
That's his full name, please.
That sounds like a very odd job.
Tony, confronting a mad scientist in his underground lair, Bond tangles with a mysterious hitman with an unusual weapon who's searching for money from a drug deal gone bad.
Team, I think I have it, but I'm going to talk to you about it first. I think it's
tell us what you
Doctor
think it is.
No Country for Old Men.
Sure.
Is Dr. No the name of that movie? It's not like The Island of Dr. No. Dr. No.
No. No. Yeah, that would be three movies put together.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yeah.
I would watch that.
Yes.
Dr. No Country for Old Men.
Yeah. Writing notes. Yes. 10 points.
All right.
Good job, Tony.
Guys, we're going to lose by 1 point, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Liz, the disfigured son of a publishing magnate immerses Bond into a lucid dream where he must go back to his roots to save M.
Help. I don't watch movies. Lucid dreaming? When's lucid dreaming happening? And you
is that like Inception?
Some people
or something?
Prefer the book rounds.
Is that? yes, I do. Even if they are all about Virginia Woolf and To the Lighthouse.
None of them were!
Disfigured?
They could have been, though. Which... What's it called?
Can you read it again, Dan? Sorry.
The disfigured son of a publishing magnate immerses Bond into a lucid dream where he must go back to his roots to save M.
The only boy who could ever reach me was the disfigured son of a publishing magnate.
Yeah. The one where he goes back to his roots to save M, that's Skyfall. That's the one where they go back to, you know, the Bond family estate at the end of the movie. But I don't see where that...
So it's lucid dreaming. Where is lucid dream? Eternal Sunshine.
Oh, wait. I haven't seen it again, but isn't that what Vanilla Sky is about?
Oh, Vanilla Skyfall.
10 points.
Kaboom.
Well done.
Yes.
Wow.
I have seen it, and I could not tell you what it was actually about. So I trusted you.
Lucid dreaming,
I
apparently.
I read the synopsis of it, and I am with you.
Unbelievably, I've seen it.
That movie
what?
Sounds bananas.
I've seen it.
That's the one movie.
That's it.
That's it. We found it.
That was
and that's
work.
What turned him off of other movies. Right?
Fair enough.
Erica, makes sense. In order to stop a plot involving laser satellites, Bond must go into cryonic suspension for a year. But he accidentally wakes up 53 years later and begins to experience rapid aging.
Oof. Team, if you have help for me... cryonic suspension and rapid aging does not give, like, I heard cryonic suspension, I was like, oh, Demolition Man, but I don't know about the rapid aging.
Well, so and then,
like, is it Moonraker? I don't know. I feel like there's multiple movies with satellites.
Sorry.
I don't that is technically true. Stuff very well.
Can you say it again? I guess GoldenEye, also a movie with a satellite.
In order to stop a plot involving laser satellites, Bond must go into cryonic suspension for a year, but he accidentally wakes up 53 years later and begins to experience rapid aging.
53 years later.
Yeah. The only like movies I can think of that have like going into cryonic sleep are like they're meant to be long and they wake up short. So this is
anyone
what I'm saying is I have nothing.
Any movies with rapid aging in them?
Well, let's think about the James Bond side of things, the laser satellite. Like I don't know because I don't know those movies, but maybe the names of some James Bond movies would help trigger something in somebody else's head. What are some other James Bonds? You said GoldenEye?
GoldenEye, which is, you know, there's a lot of movies that start with I.
And you said Moonraker?
Moonraker has space stuff in it.
Okay.
I don't like that one as much as GoldenEye now.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I can't think of anything that ends with moon. Golden Eye, but what would start with I? Like, it's not iRobot.
It's not iRobot.
Goodness.
Or is it? That was a terrible adaptation, so maybe it was that bad?
I don't think there's not cryogenic freezing in iRobot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yet. Yeah, no.
Wow.
I don't know about this. Movies that involve cryogenic freezing, I can't think of any.
The only
Golden
one...
Eye and Encino Man. Nope, that's not it.
I only think of Captain America. But that doesn't.
Oh,
that's. But he doesn't actually like go to. Weird. My brain
start aging rapidly though.
Yeah, and it's also not cryogenically frozen. But listen, I'm just saying words. Right now.
Yeah, no.
This is American wanking, Liz.
Yes, it is.
Thank you for this information.
Make Captain America
making
wanking.
Harder and harder for Dan to edit around that.
Yep. No, yep. Can't get rid of it.
Gosh, I'm trying to think of James Bond movies that I...
Like, well, okay, so we got On Her Majesty's Secret Service. I don't think it's that.
No. It's not Casino Royale.
Are you literally going to list every James Bond?
We could be here a while.
Because I don't know them all.
Yeah.
I think you're going to need to take a crack at this team one.
Yeah, I'm thinking that the cryonic suspension is just something that I'm not terribly familiar with. So, I mean,
can you think of any movies that start with the word I? They're not iRobot.
I can't. I was going to say iRobot.
Eyes Wide Shut. Does Eyes Wide Shut have cryonic suspension in it?
No, it does not. I'm very helpful telling you movies that don't have cryonic suspension in them.
That's helpful. But what if we just say like Golden iRobot?
Golden Ice Age.
Now I wish I thought of that.
Sir Cut.
That's so good. Sir Cut. My shining moment.
Is that what you're going with? You got anything else,
Erica?
For me?
It's all you. This is for the game. This is for the game.
It could be. Could be.
I know it is, and I told you before we're gonna. I can't even roll dice for this. There's no way dice can help me right now, and I'm very sad.
Your dice cannot help you now.
Oh my God. I don't even have a guess. So let's just guess Golden Ice Cream Man.
Golden Ice Cream Man. Love it.
It's a Van Halen movie.
Yes, right. Just out of curiosity, Team 2, anybody over there got it?
Is this Diamonds Are Forever Young?
Indeed it is, Steve. Well done.
Wow. Hey.
Oh my God, what that awful Mel Gibson movie?
It is an awful Mel Gibson movie.
Redundancy detected.
Damn, a Mel Gibson movie.
Yeah, Elijah Wood is in that movie too. Fun fact.
Wow.
I've never heard of this.
Well done, Steve.
I guess we had nothing right in it.
All right. Nothing riding on the last question here, but the entire game.
Okay, Steve, you have to get this one right, too.
This one I won't know.
When Spectre steals a pair of atomic bombs, Bond's only hope is helping a ragtag team of misfits win a sports championship to save their local gym.
Ooh.
Oh, man. Steve, you're probably our best bet to guess the non-Bond movie there, I think.
Sports misfit and local gym. Is this maybe Dodge Rollerball? Rollerball is not a Bond movie. What am I saying? Thunderball? Is that a Bond movie?
Thunderball is a Bond movie. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
So how do you mash up Thunderball and Dodgeball?
Thunderball, possibly.
That doesn't make sense.
Oh, like Dan's answers always are perfectly constructed.
Well, we have to assume that for the
Thunder
game,
Dodgeball,
for the
maybe,
match point, he must have done this perfectly. Otherwise, okay. We'd all be very upset at him, I mean, and he would be sad.
There's a million sports misfit movies. The only one I can think of where they're saving a local gym, and I've actually never seen Dodgeball, but I'm guessing that's probably it, because it seems like the kind of dumb plot that would have.
Right. But there's
That's like the only one I know because I was forced to watch it once to be polite.
Does anybody know? Are they saving their gym in that?
I thought so because that was the first one that came to mind. I'm assuming that I was right. Probably. I'm going to go for 80% probably. I think.
Yeah. Past experience tells me that they don't have to be perfectly constructed. Like it doesn't have to be Thunderball something. You know, it can be fun.
No, I know, but I just don't want to make that assumption and then
find out. So does anybody know the plot of Thunderball and how it ties to what he said first?
It ends with a climax on the water. I can't remember any more than
that. Say that again, but real slow.
Is that American? No, never mind.
I can't think of any other Bond movie that ends in Dodge or starts with Ball.
So Dodge Thunderball or Thunder Dodgeball. What?
Yeah, and it just doesn't make sense, does it?
I really... I really just feel... Yeah, okay, Dodge... Okay, I can't shift off Dodgeball because I'm going to go for 80 because I admittedly was not paying
huge amount of attention to it, but they did seem to have a gym and were quite keen on winning money. And I'm assuming I don't want to have to think about this stupid movie. All right, assuming it is that.
Don't blame me, blame Dan. I didn't do it.
That's the subtitle of this game show.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I can't think of anything else at all is also the other thing.
Yeah, right. I mean, this is the thing. I've never seen Dodgeball. I had no idea that it was about saving a gym. You know, if that's the only thing we can think of, then I guess that's what we're going to have to go with.
Can you read the first half of the clue again?
When Spectre steals a pair of atomic bombs, Bond's only hope is helping a ragtag team of misfits win a sports championship to save their local gym.
Okay, all right, so stealing a couple of atomic bombs.
And Thunderball could be about a couple of atomic bombs, but then so could just about any Bond movie,
to be honest. I know quite a few that are not. Thunderball, I have no idea what happens in Thunderball, but
but that's my point. Unless you actually know.
Tony can tell you ones that don't have chronic freezing in it.
But the point is, there are
I won't, it can't but
be
I can.
Every single Bond movie, and I don't know any where two atomic bombs are stolen, so it's possible that Thunderbolt, like, I don't know what happens in Doctor No. I know someone comes out of the sea in it.
All right. Yeah, I'm gonna ask for an answer.
All right. To hell with it. Well, it's gotta be we are the lose
by a margin or win by a margin.
Thunder,
you know,
dodge,
that's how games
tension
work.
Dodge.
And, yes, so, it's Thunder Dodgeball colon an underdog story.
10 points. What? You even had it the way I wrote it.
How
you said dodge Thunderball. I thought about just giving it to you then, but then you kept going, so.
Oh my god. But there's, you can't,
I'm
have
disappointed.
Two,
the only rule is there are no
answers.
Rules.
Look at how angry Liz is to win.
I know. The winning is about how it didn't fit perfectly.
I'm just angry about the construction of the answer, because none of the others were incorrectly constructed.
Yes, exactly. That's what I'm mad about.
Dan, I respect you and
how
your work.
How many times have you guys been on this show again, Dan?
And
can we go to the numbers?
Steve is correct. They often play with them, especially on the last one. So you got to be ready for that curveball.
Well, first of all, no curveballs reward for. And secondly, I had to think about a movie I hated, and now I'm going to remember it better.
Liz, are there movies that you like?
Circuit.
Somebody in the chat pointed out the Matrix Astley, which is still a high point. So, you know, enjoy what you can do with this one.
Dan, we're never going to give you up, no matter what.
Right. We'll never give you
Liz,
up.
Liz, before you get too angry about this, let's get the final scores.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball. Here are the final scores.
Oh.
Team 1 with 61 points, and Team 2 inching ahead with 70 points to claim victory.
Oh, man, we should have bet one less in the other round.
I know, I was just thinking that. Nice.
Could end up with a tie.
Did we win? Which team are we?
You are the team that won, Liz.
Oh, really?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So what I think you mean to say is that last question was constructed perfectly.
Yeah, and we didn't roll any dice. I think that's the real lesson here.
All right, that is the end of our show. Thank you so much to our panelists. Thank you to everybody who's been listening out there, some of you for up to 10 years. We really appreciate it.
A long session.
The game show will be back in some or another, including this show as well.
And by the way, about an hour and a half ago, the Eagles won.
By the way, if you would like to write in or submit your own round of questions and then have your panelists rip them to shreds, you can do that by writing inconceivable@theincomparable.com or finding us on Mastodon at inconceivable@zeppelin.flights.
I'm going to do that.
You are more than welcome to.
That sounds like a threat.
Thank you once again, everybody. Thanks to our panelists. Thanks to scorekeeper Lex Friedman. Thank you all for listening. We'll see you next time. So long, everybody.